Have you ever left somebody's presence? I'm exaggerating only slightly. And they said something, but in your gut, you went, it's not going to happen. You didn't know why, but you just knew it wasn't going to happen. How many of you have that experience? Say, I. That's because your brain is trained to look for what we call incongruencies. Incongruency is when your voice and your body and the words don't match. People notice that. So when you say, sure, they notice that. They notice when the inflection doesn't match the word. And even if they don't notice it consciously, they notice it unconsciously. And so you've got to communicate congruently. Now, this is not only true of other people, but yourself too. Now, where is this really valuable? Well, it's really valuable when you're communicating to yourself. If you say to yourself, okay, I'm gonna do it. I'll do it. What does your brain say? He goes, there's no way in a million years you're not gonna do it. Who are you trying to kid? I'm not stupid, you know. There's no physiology here. You're incongruent. But if you say, I'm gonna do it, then your whole brain, body, everything gets, you mean it and you'll show up. So you wanna not only get good at communicating well with other people, but first you gotta get good at communicating well with yourself. Does this make sense? So one of the things we wanna do is get you so you are congruent. So that you, when you go to do something, all of you is saying yes, not just the words, your body, your voice, everything. And when all three are aligned, then you have this thing called power, congruency, consistency, the capacity to get yourself to do what's necessary like that immediately. That's part of our target. And that comes from congruent communication. Good example, by the way, of congruent communication is the mafia. When they communicate, do people know exactly what they mean? Yes. In fact, if you remember, there was this one Don they were after forever, and they could never get this guy. And they finally got him a few years ago. And the reason that the authorities could never capture him is he understood the power of communication. And he was really smart. He protected all his communication networks. Not only when he said something, people knew what he meant, but also he protected all the ways he communicated so no one could, like, grab a hold of information. So, for example, he had an accountant for many years who was a man who could not speak and could not hear. Makes it very difficult to testify in court that way. So one day, though, what blew the whole thing up was this accountant gets called in to the mafia boss's office because the mafia boss freaks out and realizes he's missing $3 million from his accounts. He pulls in this accountant who he can't talk to. So he has to talk through a finger sign, you know, interpreter. So he turns this guy and he says, to an interpreter, he says, you tell this guy I'm missing $3 million. I know he has it. And I want it right now. Interpreter turns and says, he says that he's missing $3 million. He thinks you've got it and he wants it right now. Well, the accountant gets this funny look on his face, starts flashing fingers back. I don't know why he's coming to me. I'm a trusted, loyal employee. I've been here forever. Tell him look somewhere else. Well, the mafia boss is watching his hands going back and forth in hyperspeed, right? So he turns to the interpreter and says, what'd he say? The interpreter turns to the mafia boss and says, well, he said he's a trusted, loyal employee. He's been here forever. He doesn't have any of your money, and you have to look somewhere else. Well, the mafia boss didn't have much patience, so he pulled out a very big gun, put it direct at the head of the accountant, started screaming, you tell that accountant I want my money right now. I'm blowing his brains out. The interpreter turns, starts flashing signs. He says he's very upset. He knows you have the money. He wants it right now. He's going to blow your brains out. Right? All of a sudden, this accountant starts flashing signs very, very rapidly. He goes, stop him. I'll tell you where the money is. It's in my cabin by the lake under my bed. Well, the mafia boss is watching his hands going back and forth at incredible speed. He turns to the interpreter and says, what'd he say? And the interpreter turns to the mafia boss and says, he says he doesn't think you have enough guts to pull that trigger. Moral of the story. We don't want to misinterpret ourselves this weekend, right? Now, if you're going to be effective then in communicating, you probably should know how your brain functions. I mean, understand what really triggers your brain to work. Now, we understand, first of all, that no matter what happens in our life, it's not what happens that determines life, it's what we do with it, right? It's what we communicate and what action we take. How many buy that? Say I. And so what we've got to be able to do then is understand maybe why we do what we do. Now, most of you know at a very basic level why you do what you do. Most of us do anyway. We know that everything we do, ultimately, we do for one of two reasons. We do it either out of our need to avoid what? or out of our desire to gain. That's the whole game. Now, what's interesting though is this. You and I as human beings have a unique ability. We don't actually avoid real pain. We don't actually move towards real pleasure. We move towards what we think will equal pleasure, or what we make up in our head will equal pleasure. And we avoid whatever we make up will equal pain. Like, we're unique. We're not like dogs. There isn't a clear pain and pleasure. We make stuff up. Can someone make up something that's really good for them in their mind, make it up that it's painful? Is that possible? Can a hunger striker literally starve themselves but feel pleasure instead of pain because they associate a higher moral ground to what they're doing? Yes or no? Sure. I mean, you look at Nelson Mandela. Of all the people I've had the privilege of meeting, people ask me all the time, like, who's the person you respect the most? By far him. Could you imagine somebody taking 27 years of your life away from you and you not want to kill everybody in sight? And then you not only don't kill anybody or come out and do anything, but you come back out and say, listen, let's rule the country together, you people that put me in jail for a quarter of a century. I mean, that shows you what a human being is capable of. And when I met him, I said, how did you make it through that suffering? I mean, how did, and he looked at me and said, what suffering? I said, well, like 27 years, what'd you do? He said, that wasn't suffering, Tony. He said, that was preparation. He said, while I was there, I was preparing for one of two things. Either I would die and my death would spark a revolution in my country and I knew then my life's purpose would be met, or I'd get out and I'd end up running my country. So I was preparing to be a great leader. I mean, most people probably didn't have that communication with themselves. That's why you don't know Joe Schmo, but you do know Nelson Mandela. Because Joe Schmo never communicated with the darn it, you know who he is. Communication is everything. Mastering that communication is everything. And we have that power. So we have the ability to decide what equals pain, what equals pleasure. But here's the problem. Most of us do act like dogs. We let other people tell us how to feel. In fact, the average American watches television 7 hours a day still, even with the internet. 7 hours a day is the national average. That's it, seven, right? And what's happening there is people are being taught what to feel. And advertisers know how to get you emotional about dog food or women's hygiene products, right? You know, I mean, it's unbelievable what's on the news. Plus, now they got drugs. Here's this drug. It's really wonderful, but it may not work, and it may kill you. It may give you brain hemorrhaging. It may do this. It may make you kill your best friend. But please call your doctor and see if you'd like it for you. But they play the nice music while they're saying it. It's like a Saturday Night Live commercial. Have you seen these commercials the last few years? It's like staggering, the stuff they put on there. You know, you may have a brain hemorrhage. Right? Because they know how to condition you to link pleasure to things that could actually be painful. So if you don't take conscious control, if you don't have a plan for your life, I guarantee you someone else has one for it. So you better be conscious or you get to pay the price of being reactionary.